Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Psychology of Work, Why People Do What They Do, a podcast exploring the science and stories behind high-cohesion, high-performing teams. My name is Dr. Bobbi Wegner. I'm a lecturer at Harvard in organizational psychology and the founder of Groups. In each episode, we dive into the minds of industry experts to uncover what drives team and individual dynamics, tackle real-world challenges together, and share actionable insights to help teams feel and function their best. Thanks so much for joining, and let's get started.
Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to be here. So I'm here today with Katya Libin, who's a co-founder and chief visionary officer of Jadeva, which is a year-long program for conscious entrepreneurs who want to scale their business without losing themselves in the process. It's where spiritual values and real business strategy finally live in the same room. She previously co-founded Hey Mama, an influential network for working mothers, which she successfully exited. She's a keynote speaker, an executive coach, an advisor to companies like Reprise Activewear, Two Moons Health, and Nestig. Katya also runs Katya Libin & Co., an executive coaching practice guiding visionary founders and leaders. She's based in New York. She's in Brooklyn right now. I'm in sort of midtown Manhattan down from Boston. And she's really known as a super connector who bridges strategy with deep human insight. We connected immediately. We connected over talking about some work you were doing out at South By and just hit it off right away. And I'm just so happy to have you here, Katya. So tell us a bit about who you are. What's your story? Who are you? I know it's a big question, but...
Wow. What a great opening question. Well, I'm so happy to be here. I'm a huge fan of yours, and I just love the way your mind works.
Aww.
And I think the short story is I'm an immigrant from Eastern Europe. I came here when I was 3 years old from Russia. My family came over with very little, I think like $400.
Oh my gosh.
And projects in Brooklyn. A total American dream story of, coming over for freedom, coming over for my sister and I to have opportunities. And we just took it and ran with it. We are both entrepreneurs and have always had a very innovative, go-for-it spirit. When you don't have a ton to fall back on, you just have no other choice but to keep jumping off the cliffs in whichever way. And I just love building companies. I've always been a builder. I co-founded Hey Mama when I became a mother and I couldn't find my people. And we grew it to over 100,000 women before I exited. And somewhere in there, like while building something really big, I think I just, I hit some walls. And so I'm really open about those walls and what it's like to really find yourself after losing yourself in a project that, you felt was like your life's work or was everything. And you give so much to it, but you also give up parts of yourself. At least that's what I felt like. So I had lost a lot of threads of who I was. And after the exit, I just really went deep into my own journey, into ceremony, into embodiment, and just asking, like, what does it really mean to build something that feels as good as it looks? And out of that came the work that I do now, which is like really helping women scale without losing themselves in the process.
Oh, wow. I mean, there's just so much there, right? I feel like there's like your personal story, there's your professional story. You speak so eloquently about how these things, eloquently and honestly about how these things tie together. And there's just a lot to learn from there. Sidebar though, I don't even know if we've talked about this. So I'm on the board of USA for IOM. So IOM is the International Organization for Migration. It's like, it's almost like UNICEF or something with like worse branding, based in Geneva, like it's been around and it's really supportive of people on the move, right? Migrants. And so I've always done that work because, my grandparents were off the boat from Ireland and just sort of always had this belief and this thread that just wanted to advocate for people who are coming from different places and helping us in the States understand the value of migrants. Point is, so I always was doing that work. And then the further I got into it, and I was meeting more and more, and then I was building groups and talking to a bunch of CEOs and people, I was like, wow, there's so many like immigrant CEOs, who just like have that fierceness and that tenacity to actually go big, to build something, in part because you sort of have to. And so these two worlds that were sort of separate in my mind started like coming together. And now I'm always like bringing people from groups world over to like sort of the IOM side and IOM side over to like startup founder world. And so now I'm just like doing that mentally as we're chatting too. I'm like, oh, I got to bring Katya into this realm too. So
I would love that. I feel like being an immigrant is such a formative experience that it fortifies you for entrepreneurship in some way.
100%. Yeah, there's something about entrepreneurship that it's like most people are not built for it. There you have to have this inherent, actually, is it inherent? You have to have a capability to be resilient and to just keep going forward. I was leading a group for this executive team yesterday. It's a global VC firm, like 60 locations across the world. And the CEO founder was saying, you know, building a business, he was quoting someone else, but he said, building a business is like riding a bike. You can just not stop because if you do, you'll like tip over. So you just have to find your way to find your pedaling and just keep going. And most people don't have that capability. They don't have to.
Totally. Well, they say like, you can't fail if you never stop.
That's funny. Oh my gosh. So, you know, now you're really doing work around feminine leadership, right? And like, so tell us about that. What does that mean? Was there a defining moment you knew you were really meant to guide other women? Yeah. Like, how did this come to be?
Yeah. Well, interestingly enough, with Hey Mama, we had a lot of women in the community, but I was less in a facilitator, spaceholder role. I was a community visionary, organizer, really curating the experience that everyone would receive. And then after I stepped down as CEO and ultimately the company got acquired, I started engaging in a different type of community and sisterhood, which was curating groups of women and holding space for deep personal transformation. Mm-hmm. And I had to rise up and become someone different to be able to hold that space. But what I found was as I was doing that, I felt more connected to my purpose than I ever had. Mm-hmm. More than I had in hundreds of women, I felt so alive and divinely guided in a circle of 8 women at my home called The Hill, where I host a lot of retreats and spiritual experiences for women to come back home to themselves mm-hmm. and really remember what it's like to safely be in their feminine energy. I don't love putting a label on feminine leadership because sometimes I think there's so many misconceptions on what's feminine, what's masculine, and there's a lot of confusion on what is feminine leadership versus just leadership, or, you know, how do you honor the parts of your business approach that might have gotten you quite far and been very successful for you, but that traditionally might be known as more like masculine energy mm-hmm. traits. The goal is to leave any part of these behind. It's to fully integrate both. Mm-hmm. And what I find really interesting is that when you're leading from a place that's yours, like your instincts, your values, your body, that's when you're going to start feeling a lot more of that actual feeling of success rather than the metric, the exit, the revenue. Mm-hmm. I think most of us were handed a blueprint for success that was built by someone else. And so a lot of women have been trying to fit themselves into a version of success that someone else created. But when I work with women on finding what that it actually feels like when they're leading from themselves, building a business around that, trusting their intuition, right? Leading from the heart, allowing themselves to rest. Rest is a form of our rest is a mm-hmm. part of our jobs. And of course, allowing ourselves to receive. These are some of the themes that you'll find in feminine leadership. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as we were chatting before we hopped on, you know, before we were recording, we were talking about sort of the intersection of what you're doing, which is community building in some ways, and then now really building like a program and an incubator in a lot of ways to bring women together to kind of optimize the business. And I was saying from a health psych perspective, I have a health psych background, function more like an organizational psychologist now. But health psych, we think about like well-being or optimization around alignment between what you're thinking, feeling, saying, and doing. And then when you can get that sort of in as straight of an arrow as most often as you can, because we can't always have alignment there. But when we do have alignment for like as much time as we can, that's really where like optimization lives. So, you know, it can be in health optimization. It can be in professional optimization. But when you're really like in alignment with yourself, or, you know, other people call it authenticity, that's where we are like our, that's where like flow states live, right? And things like that.
Yes. We call it the feminine flow, and it's something we talk about in Jadeva and that we actually teach. Our program that we developed is called the Feminine Matrix, and it's a three-part, really like formula that we've used to generate over, you know, 48 million across our companies, and have found that when women are really connected to their own internal alignment and their spiritual essence, they're magnetic to others. Yeah. And scientists have studied mirror neurons, right? And these things fire when we're in front of someone else, even on a screen, our mirror neurons are going off at all times and we can feel what the other person is feeling. So when someone's internally out of alignment, we subconsciously feel that. And that's what ends up blocking a lot of women's growth. So it feels backwards because they're like, you know what, I'm going to focus on the external and then I'm going to feel better on the internal. Then I'll do the retreat. Then I'll take the time. But really, you know, I think we have it completely the opposite. We want to magnetically attract, you know, our dream clients and partners in a way that feels effortless, you know, even enjoyable in alignment with who we are. I think that's what we're really passionate about teaching within Jadeva and why the program has been so successful and impactful.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I completely agree. It's like the way we're kind of doing business now is we're measuring ourselves on outcome, which I think is what you're really speaking to, sort of like revenue, profitability, success, these kinds of metrics. And you're really flipping the script, it seems, by being like, actually, those will come if you can get in alignment with yourself, and we're measuring the wrong thing, basically.
Yes, yes.
As you're speaking, it made me think of something. Oh, yeah, okay. So like, you know, I teach motivation, what drives human behavior in the workplace, and I teach groups and culture, and I teach these applied coaching classes that are not for coaches at all. They're for leaders learning how to coach, to think like a therapist, because I think the way therapists think is through a relational lens. So you're always toggling between self, other, space in between. So if like we use you and me as an example right now, and say there was like a feeling in the room, say there the vibe was weird or something, right? We'd notice it. The first step is to notice it in my mind. Like, what is that? How do I name that vibe? And then I go to like, is it like coming from me and my own sort of thoughts and feelings and interpretations and life experiences? Or is it coming from Katya based on what I think I'm picking up from you? Or is there something about our intersection that's creating that kind of vibe? And then how do we notice and name that vibe in real time? And through that, like connections build, because we're creating alignment between reality, like what we're both feeling, but we're not talking about, trying to talk about it. That's where like trust and connection and you're starting to manage the space in between people, you know, and that's what I think really important for leaders to start to, because we focus so much on individuals, like individual leadership, individual development, performance management, all these things. And the space in between is where the power lives because we're social beings. But like organizations don't know how to do that, so they don't do that, right? And then we're overinvesting in individuals, but it's actually separating people and creating more transactional environments, right? Versus like looking through the lens of social connection because we're social beings. There's no getting around that. That's not changing with AI. That's like who we are as like in our hardwiring.
I really love that. And I think it's so powerful and profound if people do this work, because what I found in my experience of building women's communities is that the capacity for repair is quite low. And what ends up happening is people mask alignment, but really it's avoidance. And what ends up happening is that really incredible relationships that could have been strengthened, refined, blossomed from some little bit of resilience and challenge end up never getting a chance to bloom because it's hard and it's scary to know how you're feeling in your body. That actually requires you to listen to your body and to
have awareness of your body.
Awareness of your body, have the courage, you know, to fight back off of our like decades of people pleasing programming, you know, and to name that, it's really a practice. So in Jadeva, we break out our program into the inner work, the outer work, and the relational work.
Ooh,
so the relational
amazing.
work, is the Sacred Circles. Okay. And that is where women will meet every week with other women in the program. We'll either match them up by stage or by location or by challenge. And they'll actually get to be in an experience together to share what's coming up for them that week, what their challenges are, what their vulnerabilities are. We don't actually offer the practice you're doing because I didn't, we actually need you to come in and teach that.
Oh, I'm listening to you. I'm like, we're going to build out more of a community. And I feel like I can help on the group side. I'm like, we need to just put our heads together and just spend half a day brainstorming.
I mean, if I could help women be more relationally successful with one another, because naturally, I'll put it this way, when the vibes are on point, women are like human coffee to each other, right? We have oxytocin that gets released in our system. And this is with all humans. I specifically work with women. Yeah. So, you know, that's what I can point to. There's something chemically that's happening in our bodies, of course. Spiritually, there's also something happening, right? Because we hold codes in our womb. We hold information and knowledge and wisdom there. So just being around another woman, you're already picking up on her power, her energy, her essence. That's all so magnificent. And then what happens when someone hurts each other's feelings? When someone does something that they inadvertently didn't realize, like was offensive to the other person, or, you know, they were short in a text message and someone thought that meant they were mad at them. Uh-huh. And I feel like in these moments, what I found is that far fewer women speak up about how they actually feel in a non-aggressive, non-judgmental, like kind eyes, you know, with kind eyes.
Well, that's what conflict with the intention of connection. Conflict, we've labeled conflict as bad and disconnecting, when in fact, conflict is a sign of a highly connected relationship because there's high psychological safety. Right. But like, we have to change the way we're thinking about it and be like, I'm going to say this because I love you and I care, not because I'm trying to fight with you. But we've been like conditioned to like not do that.
Yes. Yeah. And in some ways, like if we were in a romantic partnership and there was so much chemistry and then like it was really hot and passionate, it would be like, this all makes sense. But somehow in a friendship, we're like sparks, energy, chemistry, but then no conflict. Yeah. Like it doesn't make sense.
And I think a lot of it is like, there's like this whole societal layer. And I imagine this is in part why you're working with like women too, is that we've been, you know, sort of conditioned, or society has told us to be agreeable, to be people pleasing, to do all these things that have like tampered this part of ourselves in a lot of ways. So it's kind of like going against the grain. Like I used to be way more people pleasing, you know, youngest of five kids. My older sister had disabilities, like sort of like, how are you in the service of kind of someone else, or that, you know, my sister needed a lot of care, right? It took me a while to figure out that like speaking up, it deepens connection with people and allows people to connect with me more readily than if you're always kind of people pleasing. I don't really know how I got to that. Probably like my own therapeutic work. I don't know how that like stacked, you know, but there was some learning there where I had to change the way I was thinking about speaking up. But I think a lot of women don't do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, our minds are quite imaginative. We create stories that validate our perspective.
Oh, yeah.
We create stories that validate our feelings. We're like little lawyers, you know, they're like, oh, I'm going to build up a case. And now I have that proof and that proof and that proof. And they're just bad. Yeah. And I think what it does is it's a very almost, I don't want to say it's immature, but in some ways I feel like there is a lack of emotional maturity to with friends when there's no just honest conversation, right? I think there's an aspect of friendship, especially if you've been friends for a long time. You know, in marriages, we have contracts. They're not contracts on how we treat each other, but they're agreements. In business, we have agreements. In friendship, there are no agreements. Yeah. And what ends up happening is that there's no way to manage, there's no pre-discussed way to manage conflict. And then we're human, so we get triggered. So someone says something and then we might react. And then they are thinking about the reaction as opposed to the thing that they did. it kind of creates this storm where it's almost like a playbook,
yeah.
A playbook helpful, or understanding what kind of friends and relationships. I know you work a lot with professional dynamics. I'm curious, what happens when people are both friends and in a professional dynamic? Do you find that that gets more complicated or helps the relationship?
Yeah, there's so much you're saying. You're talking about like the contract, right? And it's so much of what you're talking about is what we do with teams. And it's like, how do you get clear shared goals? How do you have these conversations? I mean, I kind of think of myself as like a professional social contract negotiator. It's basically like, what are we here to do? Why are you in this relationship? The relationship is at work, right? There are professional bounds to it. But it's just every relationship has some shared goals. Like friend is friendship. Work is professional. How do you make that crystal clear and make all those implicit assumptions explicit? And then you negotiate around it. This is what I need. I like, don't call me before 9 a.m. You know, I need to get my kids here, whatever it is, you know, but you're negotiating the terms of the relationship the same way you would in a marriage, the same way you would in a business, like in a contract negotiation. But we don't really do that socially, you know, and like, but when you do that, yeah. You take all those, and that's where psychology helps, because you can label all these dynamics. And then once you label them, you have something to talk about and negotiate. But your question is like when someone has multiple parts. So this is why like the coaching part of it, it's like, say you and I are friends and I'm managing you or something. I'd be like, listen, Katya, this is really hard for me because there's a part of me that feels so connected to you. And it's hard for me to give feedback. And there's a part of me that I'm like your manager here. And there's a responsibility. So I'm sitting with both of these parts of myself right now. Dick Schwartz, he's out of Boston. He's a clinician who talks about internal family systems. And he gives, and it's really in a clinical lens, but he gives lots of great language around being able to hold multiple parts at once. So I take a lot of his work and I translate it to teams to be like, listen, you can feel two ways at once. And when you can talk about it, people understand it. You know, it allows us to be more honest with each other when we're speaking explicitly around the internal conflict we're feeling between competing parts. The friend part of me just wants to like ignore this, but the manager part of me can't, because I'd be irresponsible, and I'm actually sharing to help you grow here. Because if we don't share and you don't know, that's not going to serve anyone. And having the language to have those kinds of conversations.
Yeah, that's really beautifully done. I think that's nice. It's like almost holding the different parts, you know, like, hey, I'm coming to you in this way and also in this way, being vulnerable about it. But all of that takes the willingness. And in a professional setting, I think there's more like frameworks because there's some hierarchy, mm-hmm. which almost helps mm-hmm. in some ways.
Yeah.
I think when things are completely flat, you know, everyone's like, there, it can be actually a little bit trickier.
Totally.
And people have different styles of how long they need. I'm one of those people that like, say you and I got into it for any reason.
Yeah.
And you were upset or I was upset, it would take me like an hour tops to be like, okay, here's where I, you know, here's where my little girl showed up. Here's where I felt upset. It would pretty much take an hour, maybe two tops. And then I know friends and colleagues where it takes days of silence. And I'm just like, that is painful for people that may have experienced like abandonment wounds or someone shutting the door off. Growing up, and I was talking to a client yesterday and we kind of, you know, made some really interesting parallels around a childhood experience and a current romantic partner, because one person's protection is like deeply painful to another person and their desire to just repair quickly.
Yeah.
So maybe some thoughts on that, but
yeah,
what is a typical time frame of
like repair? Yeah, wait, have you read Dick Schwartz before? Because you're like speaking his language.
Whoa.
Okay, after this, I'm going to send you this book because you're just like found your way to what he's made a model of. And so this idea, and I think you'll love it. And I think it works really well with what you're doing, which is there's no bad babies born. We're all born kind, compassionate, caring. And so he lists out like 7 or 8 C's, which is some of which I just named, like kind, compassionate, caring, sort of flow state. We're all born that way. And then we build up these parts that are in response to the world we experience, right? I have a part of me that's anxious because...
Parts work.
And so like you start to be able to separate and notice your parts that come up. And then you can start to see, it's almost like a healthy multiple personality changing of the guards, you know, with like a true core self underneath. That's just, all those parts are just trying to protect. But in relationship, whether it's romantic or whether it's at work, my anxious part could trigger your, like, I don't know, whatever part, like a frightened part. If I'm really anxious, you know, then maybe there's a part of you that like has a really negative experience with an anxious person or an anxious mom or something, that now you, it triggers your defensive part, but you go into shutdown mode, you know? So you start to notice like what part of me is triggering what part of you, and then gives us language to talk about it, or versus like, you're being this, you're being difficult. It's more like it allows us to be empathic and sort of like externalize the problem in a healthy way to be able to talk about it, to move through it.
Yeah, I love that so much. I think, you know, that's really what our mission is, and mine personally, is just to meet every person with an incredible amount of compassion and curiosity for the mess and the glory of the human experience and all of the ways that we get to learn from everything. Mm-hmm. So I just like fundamentally believe that every rupture, every repair, everything we experience is a lesson and a way for us to grow stronger. And the types of people that I love to surround myself with, both personally, professionally, they're very growth minded. So they can make anything a blessing. They can make anything intentional and almost a part of their soul's curriculum if they choose that. And those are the kind of people I like to be around.
Yeah, me too. Like moving towards the wells and away from the drains. Like I feel like when I was younger, I, you know, felt like I need to like help people more. And I'm like, listen, this is just more a time suck energy drain. Like not to be totally unempathic, but also pay attention to that energy in a different way. Like the older I get, you know, just because like at what cost, right? We can spend all of our days trying to like help other people, like, or not, help's not the right word. I think it's when people aren't doing their own work, right? It's like, you can't do the work for somebody.
Yes.
I'm happy to help all day long if somebody's willing to also do it, but it's not when it's like they're not willing to put the work in. So for a woman feeling sort of stuck or disconnected, what's like a mindset shift or a practice that you would like teach, or, you know, something that you use at Jadeva?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm really big on meditation. I know it's a classic and some people have a practice and some people don't, but I personally find that taking a break, having space that's carved out before you start the day for reflective practice and meditation, and before meetings, before calls, we start always with an attunement. Mm-hmm. So for about 3 to 5 minutes, I'll drop people in with breath, with a gentle body scan, with just the ability to like arrive more fully in their body, so that when they are learning the information or speaking, they can integrate that. I know that sounds really simple, but I can't tell you enough how much like a few minutes of deep breathing and stillness have saved me on days that I've been going nonstop. And I think it's really changes the quality of every decision that I make.
Well, it's really like more conscious, you know, and where our brains are wired for efficiency. So we're just like going. We don't even realize that. And so building these practices in sort of drops us into our bodies and then gives us choice around how we respond versus just like reacting, which has so much value.
Yeah. Tapping's also great. I've had times where I've been, you know, just like, you know, when your head is kind of hurting from working a lot and you're just feeling like your brain is spinning a million plates, and I'll just do like gentle tapping exercises. And things like that really help me get reconnected with the body. Soft, gentle touch, feet on the grass. You know, we're going back to basics, but if we can get more tactile, it allows us to drop in and even for a few moments, get out of the monkey brain and like bring more of that presence. And when we're present, we don't feel as stuck, right? It's like, disconnection problem is what I see generally. Like, if people are feeling stuck, it's because they're disconnected. And that can perpetuate. The more stuck you feel, sometimes you feel like you need to do more to get unstuck. Mm-hmm. But in reality, you actually do less.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel more like centered and grounded just talking to you. Talk about like mirror neurons. I'm like, I need to be in the room with you. I'm not even in the same room with you. And I'm feeling like calmer. You're just like exude that energy. Aww, but as we're starting to come to the end, Kanti, I'm like, what's on your mind that I haven't asked you, or anything that you want to share, you know, that I haven't asked you about yet?
Yeah. I think what's on my mind is just creating a world where you could be a serious businesswoman and a deeply spiritual one. Mm-hmm. You know, where I feel like for so long, mm-hmm. those things have been in opposition. It's like you're either woo-woo and spiritual, or you're really focused on business and money. And I actually think that, you know, business can be spiritual. It's like the way that we build and serve is also part of our purpose and expression and our calling. And I'm just really excited to be cultivating a space where those different parts of us can meet and work together, because people feel that, mm-hmm. that ease, that alignment. Like, we really feel that in people. And women like yourself are solving some really important problems. So, and that's what business is. We just solve problems, mm-hmm. that we care about solving. Yeah. For lack of a better term, it's like, what problem do I want to devote myself to for the next 10 years? You know, I think when we have women like that are solving for X and trying to make the world a better place and trying to leave it better than they found it, you know, coming together in sisterhood, in conscious community, in spaces where you could be your full self and integrate these parts of you. Integration, mm-hmm. actually is coming out. Like, even from recent studies, they're like, integration is the thing that's missing. Mm-hmm. It's not more consumption. It's actually integration. And so I just am excited to see, I'm excited to see more women coming back to their own innate feminine power in redefining that for themselves. That I feel like is a big awakening that's happening with women, and it's really beautiful to witness. So I could talk about that forever, but I just, like you, I'm really passionate about what happens when we get incredible people together and help them create coherence, mm-hmm. and harmony to achieve things.
I just love it. It's so important, and I can just feel your passion in this, and like, what a perfect alignment for you. Just looking, I'm just like looking at all that you've done between Hey Mama and now Jadeva, and it's just like, you know, this is your mission, and you know, like kind of, you're just activating it all over the place. I'm just so glad we met, and I just look forward to getting together in person at some point and just talking about all of this, because there's so many parallels, but between what we're doing with different labels and different spaces, but ultimately it's about connection with other people, connection with yourself, finding purpose and getting clarity, and then doing all the things you need to do to build the strongest relationships you can. Because when we can do that, that's when we're all optimized. We all live the best lives we can live. We make the biggest impact. We have the best businesses, all the things. But there's a lot of work and that goes into that. I just appreciate you, Katya, and I just appreciate you spending time, and, you know, look forward to many more conversations.
Likewise. Thank you so much. This was such an honor. I can't wait for all to come.